Good morning. So I hope you were touched by what you just saw. Margie, Pastor, Renee, Keith, and all the group, you guys come up here every Sunday. It's a lot easier sitting back there than being up here, just so you know. So my name's Jeff Morgan. This is my wife, Margie. Compassion is very important to us. Sorry, went too far. All right. I want to read this to you. Search my heart, O Lord. Give me eyes to see, ears to hear what you would have to do for me, right? So we pray this a lot. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear, right? So what we want to talk to you about today, something near and dear to our heart, is compassion. We were sitting in a church in Pennsylvania just around 10 years ago, just like you guys are today. And compassion, we had Compassion Sunday, just like we're having now. And Margie and I said, we need to sponsor a child. So we went and sponsored a child. Well, things have changed since then, right? So we're going to go through the slides real quick. But I just want to, I guess, first of all, let's pray, right? Let's bow our heads and pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much for today, Lord. We thank you so much for our homes, Lord. We think about the video that we just saw and how we have so much. Lord, we have vehicles, we have a house, we have food. We don't, a lot of times, don't have to worry about where that's coming from. Sometimes maybe we do, but Lord, we just thank you so much for Keith's prayer and message, that the words that he read today, Lord, that we need to lean into you and keep our eyes focused on you, Lord, and that we're obedient to listen to what it is that you put before us. We ask today, Lord, that you just be with these people that are sitting in these seats. Be with us, Margie and I, Lord, and let us always keep our eyes focused on you and whatever it is that you lay before us, that we're obedient to do whatever that is. And we just love you and praise you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, that makes it a little easier. So, yeah. Keith, you're right. Yeah. So, okay. So our first child, I want to talk about Camilio, okay? So what a little cutie he is, right? So we started sponsoring Camilio about 10 years ago. And now this is what Camilio looks like to this day. When you become a sponsor, I just took this right off the website yesterday. It basically talks about like their birthdays and how long you've been sponsoring them. We wanted to share with you, we have four children that we sponsor, and we're going to go through it each one real quickly. But the reason why we don't want to talk about how many kids we sponsor. Well, one thing I want to do before we get any farther. If you've sponsored a child, I mean, we know Abby. Abby's going to Paris. I think some people probably helped sponsor her. If you've sponsored a child before or sponsoring a child currently, will you please stand up? Look at that. That's amazing. Thank you. Have a seat. Thank you so much. So there's room for opportunity there, and then there's also room for, hey, if you just had one, I'm like, how are we going to sponsor one? And now we actually sponsor five children now, four in Compassion and one in Guatemala. So well, you can do it. We're going to talk about how you can do it, but let's see, Camilio here, dear sponsor, date July 17th to 18th. Hello, I'm happy to hear from you and your family. It is wonderful to write to you again so I can tell you new things about myself. In this opportunity, I write about all the dreams I want to come true. Someday I would like to go to Mexico. I would like to go to be like my dad, my sponsor. I would like to meet you someday because your letters. I would like to be a soccer player and a pastor. When I grow up in the future, I would like to help my family because they have taken care of me. So there's a young man that says he wants to be, he loves soccer. He loves soccer to death. But so he wants to be a soccer player, but he also wants to be a pastor. So That was our first one. Our second child, this is probably our favorite. So Margie picked this card up. As Pastor mentioned, there's 12 cards. Margie picked this card up and set it back down, and I said, no, we're sponsoring there. I said, it looks like she wants to eat us, but we're going to sponsor her anyways, right? So that's little Yanelis, okay? So this is Yanelis today. And let's, oh, oh, I messed up. Oh, I had a before and after, but I know, but I had them side by side. So apparently I have two sets of slides. I have them here, so you won't be able to see it, but here's the before and after, right? So you can see the transformation. And Margie wants to talk about one time when she, so what happens is you can sponsor them, and then like for birthday or Christmas, if you choose to, you can send them something as well. But there was, I'll let Margie talk about it.
So with you, Nellis, one thing my husband said when I put the card down, because there was a bunch there, and he picked it back up, and I said, why are you choosing her? And he says, look at her. She needs us. And I'm like, you're so right. Like, I still get touched by it. But so you are able to sponsor them and give them extra gifts if you can. And so for her birthday, we get pictures, and I couldn't find it, unfortunately, but she... Most of her pictures, she's pretty somber. She's very happy, and she has a, you know, a future ahead of her now, thanks to compassion. And she was standing behind her gifts for her birthday, and she had the biggest smile. And the gifts were things that our kids have every single day, like clothes to wear to school, socks, underwear, toothbrush. And she was so happy, and we're just so blessed to be able to sponsor her. So.
Yeah, and again, what I didn't mention was we get these letters, right, like you saw in the video. And that the video says way more than what I could ever say to you. But this is from Yanelis. Hello, sponsor. May God bless you. This time I write to you since I've learned how to do it, right? I tell you that my family and I are well. I am doing well in school, and my teacher's name is Romana. In family, we celebrate my sister's birthday. The weather is hot. I have a plan for my birthday. Thank you for the gift. Bought bags, clothes, underwear. I would like to meet you in person. Bye. Okay? But some of the things, someday I would like to visit, I can't even say the city, Barranquilla. But she actually lives in Barranquilla because it says that later in this. But so she probably doesn't have an opportunity to travel. Again, we travel just to church, right? So someday I would like to paint my bedroom. This is one that really, really hit me, because Margie writes all the letters, by the way. She gets all the credit for the letters, but it says, like, my name. But so she said, she goes, she said this yesterday, I wish the children just knew, like, I write the letters, because, you know, I said, okay, well, listen to this, right? I said, someday I would like to be like my sponsor's wife, right? So they get it, right? So, and I won't go with it, but number five was, when I grow up, I would like to be a doctor. So here's a girl that I thought was going to eat us, that potentially is going to be a doctor now. So, okay, just two more slides. So this is Chelson. So I want you to look at the very top line there. We sponsored him in 21, and then this 3 years ago. But he was in seventh grade at 18 years old. So that's another thing that we take for granted is education, right? So he's now 21 years old, and he's in 10th grade, right? So he will graduate, and that's very, very important in there, because they don't have a chance without education. So, and then finally, this is our newest one. We had a teen that graduated, and so they just gave us Rosarita. She's in Mexico, so we've written her, but obviously she can't write back yet at this time. But, and then the last slide, I promise I'll give pastor the pulpit. So, Malachi 3:10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing, and there will not be enough room to store it. I'm going to tell you, Margie and I have done this pretty much since we've been Christians, okay? And I don't know how we were going to sponsor one child, let alone now we sponsor five, right? So I'm going to tell you, it's not easy, right? It's not always easy. It's something that's going to come, but God will. I challenge you to Malachi 3:10, because God will bless you. And it might not even, pastors preached about it before. It might not even be from a monetary standpoint, but I just, like pastor's going to preach about, please just search your hearts. And if you can't monetarily do it, please just pray, right? The things that we take for granted. So I'm going to shut up and give it to Margie.
I just want to emphasize, like, just pray about it. There's 12 kids out there that need God. I know this church family some. I've only been here a year, but I know your hearts. And so I'm so excited to see what's going to happen today. And if for some reason you do take a child and want to sponsor and you come on hardships, do not worry about that. Compassion will work with you. They will, if you have to suspend it for whatever, but until that time, and I know God is going to take care of you anyway, but just know that if there's more than 12 people that want to sponsor a child, I will make sure we get packets and we will, you know, bring them to you personally and you can fill them out and we'll get y'all taken care of. Thank you so much.
Amen. That was great. Awesome. Thank you guys so much for sharing your heart. And that was good. They worked really good together. We might have to have them do more stuff up here. I was sitting down there like, oh, wait, I got to go up there. That's right. It's my turn. And so like Margie was saying, just a real quick follow-up on that is the cost is, I believe the base cost is $38 a month. And then you can choose to go to $43 a month. I think that includes like a pot they kind of put the extra $5 into to help with other expenses and things like that. But I believe it's $38 a month. And then also there's Christmas presents and birthday presents you can do above that as well at certain times. And then with this, the packets out here today, like Margie was saying, there's obviously many more children that can be sponsored beyond the packets. And so if you are here and maybe you're praying about God involving you in this and there's a certain nation that maybe you would like to be a part of. Maybe there's a specific nation that you want to connect with for whatever reason. Maybe it's God has just laid it on your heart. Maybe there's a certain age. Maybe you would do, Sandra and I, what we did was we were at a concert and we saw a compassion table and kind of the same thing. We were just kind of like, I'm not sure about this. And so we went up to the table and there was a little boy from the Philippines that was like a couple months within the age of our oldest son, Anthony. And so we were like, well, hey, let's do that. And then maybe they can kind of like, you know, we'll grow up, watch them grow up together and those kind of things. And so there's different things the Lord may do, but you can go online as well. And when you go to the table, they'll give you much more information on this as well, how to do that. But you can go online and you can select from there as well, if that would be easier for you. I think there's QR codes on the packets. You can just real quick fill it out on your phone and whatnot too as well. So there's lots of ways to do this. And I will share just real quick one thing that happened to us that really affirmed for Sandra and I that compassion is legit. Like it actually is what it says it is. We all hear about and see commercials for different things and different ministries and charity things. And you always wonder in the back of your mind, like, is this legit? Is this actually what it is? Are the kids actually getting this money? All that kind of stuff runs through your mind. We were able to work a compassion table at a Casting Crowns concert in Port Huron years ago. And I've shared this before, but while we were there, just trying to help people with the packets, this young woman, maybe about 20, 22 years old, came up and she was looking at the packets and she asked us if we had any from a specific nation. And I said, I'm not really sure. Let me look. So I'm looking through. I mean, there's like literally packed stacks of packets that you at this actual compassion table. So we're looking through it. And I said, you know, I don't see one right here, but let me ask somebody. And she said, well, that's fine. I think I'm going to go with this young girl. And I was like, awesome. And I said, can I ask what drew you to compassion? And she said, she's like, I was a compassion kid. Like, and I was like, really? I was like, that's awesome. So like, I'm kind of like, let me get some background information here. Like, is this actually legit? And she said, it is 100% exactly what they say they are. Like the letters, everything. It's like they write the letters. They're receiving these benefits. It's just what you just heard from Jeff and Margie. It's what you saw in the video. And so that for me, I guess putting someone to it made it more real for me. And now she's in the United States. She's a college student. She's studying to go into a certain career field, all because of a sponsor that helped her reach those goals. And so it's amazing what God can do when the church just steps up and says, yes, Lord, I'll do that. I'll step forward. And again, maybe not for you, it's financial, but whatever it is, would you respond this morning? So let's jump into the word for just a few moments. I do want to share just a couple questions as we continue to think about this opportunity we have today, it's beyond today. The opportunity we have to make an impact for Christ goes well beyond just compassion today, but maybe what we can be looking at our everyday life and asking these questions of ourselves every single day as a follower of Christ. And so Matthew chapter 5, I want to look at Matthew chapter 5 and verses 14 through 16. Now, if you don't have a copy of God's word with you, maybe on device or in print, in the seats around you, there are some copies of God's word. If you'd like to grab one of those and use one of those Bibles, we invite you to do that. If you're using one of the Bibles provided, you can just turn to page 673. So if you're using one of the Bibles provided in the seats there, 673 would be the page number. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, a very popular passage. This is during what's called the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus is preaching this powerful message, touching on so many areas of life. It's amazing what's in this simple sermon. It goes all the way to the end of chapter 7. But here in Matthew chapter 5, following after the teaching of the Beatitudes and some great content, he says in verse 14, so Matthew 5, 14, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house." And here it is, verse 16, kind of that application verse that Jesus gives us right in the text. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Now, I know this is a familiar passage, and many of you, as I was reading the passage, you were singing the song in your head, right? Some of you were acting it out in your head. You're like, under a bushel. No, you know, you're doing that. If you didn't grow up in Sunday school or junior church, you're like, what are you talking about? It's just a weird thing we did. Let it go. It's fine. But here we see in Matthew chapter 5, this amazing application to, he says, "You are the light of the world." Now we know what he really means from the rest of Scripture. "I'm not the light," meaning in my flesh. What he means is, in me is a light through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that light will shine out of branch. And it's said in other ways, in different illustrations. He talks about that we are a branch and we're abiding in the vine. And when we do that, the Spirit produces fruit in us. And if you grow fruit, if you have an apple tree, is the apples for the tree or for the one that picks the apple and eats the fruit? It's for the one that picks it. And so in the same sense, when the Spirit produces fruit in us, yes, it's for the glory of God. It's for our blessing in a sense, but it's really for those that receive the fruit, that receive the acts of hospitality, kindness and love and grace and mercy and all those things. And so here Jesus is saying, you have a light in you. Are you willing to let that light shine? As followers of Christ, we have a purpose in this world. We have been given a light to shine. We are not to hide our light or let it be diminished. You see, I want to ask two questions this morning quickly as we evaluate how we can see this apply to our lives. The first question is this: how is our faith changing the world around us? Now, if you want to follow along for note's sake, there is an outline on the app. You can just go to North Goodland BC in your app store. You can find media, message notes, and find today's outline if that would help you. But a simple outline today, a simple message really. The first question is, how is our faith, how is your faith, how is my faith changing the world around us? The first thing I would encourage is you start with your part of the world, your area of influence. God has placed you exactly where you are right now. That is not by accident. You weren't just accidentally dropped into your family, dropped into your neighborhood, or dropped into your career. You are exactly where God has planned you to be, and you are there for a purpose. He has placed you there. And what is that purpose? Why did he place you there? To make an impact for his kingdom. Now, alone, this can be difficult. I mean, it's difficult to think about impacting and changing our world, even our area of the world, meaning our little pocket. Right? The world itself is massive. I could never change the world on a global scale. But man, just to change my everyday area of influence is difficult because we feel alone. That how could I ever do that? And obviously, we first need to understand that the only way we make an impact in our world is for Christ, through Christ. As Pastor Keith read already, that it's the Christ in you that is able to be expressed out to the world around you. It's the only way we really recognize a need to make an impact in our world that goes beyond self. When we realize that Christ has placed us here for his glory, his purpose, and for that light to shine into someone else's life. Jesus also says in John 15 that we can do nothing without him. He says, you can do nothing without me. Not that you can do some things or this thing or that thing. He says, if it's for my kingdom and for my glory, you can do nothing without me. Oh, but with Christ, we can make an impact for his glory. You see, together, we can make a difference. Is number one, realizing you need Jesus Christ. And he is working in you and through you. But secondly, we need to realize that we need each other. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24 talks about provoking one another to love and good works. That we are here to prod and nurture one another to go out and do these good works for God's glory. You see, together we can effect great change for those in need. Now, here's the truth. We can't do everything. I don't know about you, but when I see Eileen back, and it's so good to have Aunt Norma with us today, visiting from down south, and she brought some warm weather with her, so we appreciate the 70 degrees and all that. Thank you for that. I would say it's good to have her without Gary, but I don't know if I can say that. I don't know if that's okay to do that. It's good to have you, but it's probably better without Gary. We'll say that. We'll go that route. Yeah. So, but here we see this idea of, you know, when I leaned back over to her with that video, and I said, man, I love, and I kind of hate those videos. Because here's why. I love them to hear what God is doing, but there's a part of me that says, I want to sponsor every kid right now. Like, I want every kid sponsored, and I'm going to sponsor every kid. Of course we can't do that. Of course, one family, one person can't sponsor every child that needs to be sponsored. That's overwhelming. So we can't do everything. We can only do what we can do, where God has placed us and called us and given us and equipped us with what we can do. We can step out and we can see the opportunities for us to make tangible impacts in our world for Christ. You can't do everything, so don't assume you're going to do everything. But just because you can't do everything doesn't mean you do nothing. We can do what we can do where God has placed us, in Christ and with the encouragement and support of the local church. So we have a choice to make. Will we merely complain about the world and the way things are today? Or will we choose to follow the example of Christ, allowing the grace and love that we have received to be shed abroad in our hearts, that they may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven? We can complain all day long about the situation the world's in, the way people have to live and all of that. We can complain and complain, complain. Or we can choose to say, no, I can do something about this because God has given me this ability to make an impact. So we ask the question, how is our faith changing the world around us? Well, we start with our own world, first of all. But we also need to realize that we strive to walk as Christ walked. One of the most challenging verses in the Bible for me is 1 John 2:6, where it says that we are to walk as Christ walked. So what do we do then? We first need to understand, how did Jesus walk in this world? What described his ministry in the world? I love what Matthew chapter 11, verse 5 says. These are Jesus's words back to John the Baptist when he was in prison. He was second guessing if Jesus was really the Messiah, and he wanted confirmation. So he sent his disciples to ask Jesus, are you really the one, or should we look for another? This is what Jesus said about his own ministry, about his own description of what he's doing in the world. It says, the blind receive their sight and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. Now, I'm amazed that the dead coming back to life and the poor having the gospel preached to them is on the same plane. That's described in the same way, with the same power and same impact. But Jesus is saying, this is why I have come, to do these things as the Messiah. That he came to do these things. And it was confirmation to John that Jesus was, in fact, the Messiah. But I want to key in on the end of that passage, that the poor have the gospel preached to them. In the Old Testament, the poor, if you will, that terminology, was applied to those who had no inheritance, who were financially impoverished and of low social status, or those that would be considered downtrodden. They didn't have an inheritance. They didn't have a lot of finances. They were kind of impoverished. They were looked down upon. They were oppressed. They were disadvantaged. You see, the poor were helpless and dependent upon powerful people in unfavorable circumstances. The Bible also speaks of those who are not only physically poor, but spiritually poor. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3 says, "The poor in spirit." These are the people who recognize their own spiritual poverty. They realize their desperate need for God, turn to Him, and receive the richest blessings they could ever receive, His gracious offer of salvation through faith in Christ. So here we see that Jesus Christ's ministry was described as doing all the things that affirmed He was the Messiah, including preaching the gospel to the poor. And then John says, if you are to call yourself a Christian, you need to walk as Jesus walked. And so what did Jesus find Himself doing? Caring for those that were oppressed, downtrodden, disadvantaged, and the poor. One clear way that we can walk as Jesus walked is by seeing that the gospel is preached to those who are in need. And this happens when we speak up. This happens when we take our voice and we speak up for those who can't speak for themselves. So how are we going to make a difference in our world through our faith in Christ? By speaking up. By speaking the gospel, by speaking truth, and by speaking for those who can't speak for themselves. And so here's the second question this morning. Will you speak up? Will you speak up for those who can't speak for themselves? Will you speak up for those that are in need? A beautiful truth is that Christ spoke on our behalf. A couple references you can jot down. They're also on the outline there. We won't turn there, but for reference, 1 Timothy 2:5 and 1 John 2:1 makes it clear that Jesus Christ is our mediator. He is our advocate. He is the one that stands between us and the Father. And He speaks a defense for us. He is the one that defends us and is a defense before the holiness of God. He is our mediator. He is our go-between. Christ is the only reason we have peace with the Father. In our sinful, fallen state, we have no defense before the perfect and holy God. Yet in Christ, we are covered in His righteousness. Why? Because He spoke up for you and He speaks up for me. Christ also did not merely speak up for us once in salvation, but He continues to speak up for you. The Bible says that He's seated on the right hand of the throne of the Father and He's praying for you. You see, Jesus spoke up for you when you had no voice because you were dead in the tomb. Amen? You could not call out from the tomb, "Lord, save me." Ephesians 2, you're dead in your trespasses and sins. But it was Jesus who came. It was Jesus who initiated. And it's Jesus who said, "Come forth from the tomb," quickening us and giving us life. You see, Jesus spoke up for us, called to us, invites us into a relationship with Him. And now, as we know Him as our Savior, continues to speak up for us as He prays for us and speaks to us to the Father. You see, it's important we understand that Jesus didn't just speak up for us. He didn't just say words for us. He acted on His words. Christ didn't just speak, He acted. Romans 5:10 makes it clear that we were enemies of God, but yet Christ gave Himself for us. He demonstrated the love that He spoke of by going to the cross, being buried, and rising again. It has been famously said that actions speak louder than words. This was evidenced by Christ when He did not merely say He loved us, but He demonstrated that love for you on the cross. You see, in Christ, we recognize and realize that He spoke up for us and He acted on those words. And so the challenge to us this morning is, will we speak up for those who can't speak for themselves and not just say it, but act on it? The theme kind of for Compassion Sunday is to love in action and in truth. Faith impacting the world around you. Maybe not globally, but think of it that way, but think of your own local area of influence. How are you making an impact for Christ? You might say, "Well, but I'm limited. I can't do this." Exactly. You can't do everything. But what has God put within you that you can shine that light? Why? Not that you're applauded. Not that you're recognized so much as it's God's glory that goes forth. I mean, I love hearing testimonies of children that are saying, "Man, this is what my life was like before Compassion, but now I have all these opportunities before me." And it's not just financial and education and career. It's based in Jesus Christ. It's saying, no. We want to make sure that this child knows they're loved by God and that Jesus Christ can save them and redeem them. And this is happening all over the world. But maybe for you, right now, how are you seeing God use you to make an impact in your world? Or are you like most of us, myself included at times, where we're so caught up in our schedules, we're so caught up in our to-do lists, we're so caught up in our stuff that we haven't even paused in the course of a day to say, Lord, how would you use me today to honor you? I love what Pastor Greg said about home plate. Love home plate. It doesn't matter what career you're in. You don't have to be up here to be used of God to share his word with someone. Every day you are placed in an opportunity in your job site, at your school, wherever it is, in your home, to just make Christ known. And so how are you impacting your world for Christ? How is he shining that light through you? Well, one way we can do that, and not just in our area of influence, but all over the world, is to speak up for those who won't speak for themselves by preaching the gospel and seeing the gospel is preached to the poor. Will you speak up for those who cannot speak up for themselves? Will you not merely speak, but put those words into action, letting our love be known in action and in truth? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads right there where you are. As you begin to pray, I just want to ask you to take a moment just between you and the Lord. First and foremost, I want you to really evaluate your relationship with Christ. You're standing before the Lord. Would you say with confidence, based on the word of God and the truth that we find therein, not an emotion or experience or feeling, but you would say based on the word of God that you know Christ as your Lord and personal Savior because you've repented of your sins, you've trusted in Christ. If that's you today and you know Christ, you know that you've put your faith in him, you've received the gospel for yourself, and you are a child of God, then I pray that you'd begin to pray and say, Lord, I get so caught up in my stuff that it's hard for me. And if this is the cry of your heart, maybe you'd pray something like this. It's hard for me to look beyond myself and to see that you're placing me in this area of influence. You're placing me in this home, in this job, in this community, in this neighborhood, to make an impact for you, that my light, your light through me, would shine, that they would see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. We're not saved by our good works, but the little letter of James makes it clear that our faith is evidenced by good works, that the fruit of salvation is the work that honors God and blesses others and draws attention to the need of the gospel. And so if you're here today and you're a follower of Christ, maybe you'd begin to pray and say, Lord, use me in a mighty way that my light, your light in me, would shine and that others would come to know Christ. Others would be encouraged and blessed, that I would serve and see those opportunities all around me, that the faith in Christ that you've given to me would make an impact, that others would come to Christ. Help me to speak up for those that can't to action. And so, Father, would you work in all of that for those that know Christ? And if you're here and you don't know Christ, you've never personally received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today, right now, you can repent of your sins, which just means to turn from the sins that we've all committed. We've all fallen short. There is none righteous, no, not one. You can turn from that by God's grace. Believe that he died on the cross for you, was buried and rose again. And by believing and putting your faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, humbling yourself and submitting to him, he will save you for all of eternity. So wherever you're at right now, whatever God is doing, would you respond to him? Would you ask God, God, would you have me be involved this morning? And if so, in what way? Is it to sponsor a child? Is it to take $38 a month, $43 a month, and commit that as an act of love? A little more than a dollar a day. Lord, could we do that? So, Father, whatever you're doing, would you work? Would you lead, guide, and direct? And we love you, Lord, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand to your feet as we let, or let in a song of invitation? Whatever God is leading, would you respond? Again, maybe you feel led to sponsor a child today. That would be awesome. Maybe it's just to pray for that child or the children in compassion. Whatever God is doing, would you respond as we sing a song of worship?